Today on Barca Talk, Lionel Messi's hat trick in the Camp Nou kept FC Barcelona at the top of the table and Celta de Vigo in the relegation zone. A charity match with Cartagena while another international break is in session will give the younger players a chance to show Ernesto Valverde what they can do. Welcome to Barca Talk, the audio pena for Barca fans. I'm Brian Henderson, your host in Buffalo, New York, and joining me via satellite from Madrid is Gabriel Quiroga.
Brian, my Barca brother from another mother. How you doing, buddy?
Feeling like a maniac.
A Barca maniac.
Yeah. That's right. That's a reference to an Apple Podcast review we got in the Canada store. The headline read, Brian Henderson is a maniac. Yeah. Called me out by first and last name.
He did.
Even though he spelled my first name incredibly wrong.
Yeah, but it's a classic review because, you know, in that episode we were talking about Messi and you kind of just made a point that maybe he's on the decline. You were just kind of basically just playing devil's advocate about it, you know, and this person left the review and I want to make a t-shirt of it because I just think it's fantastic, right? And every time we look at the reviews and stuff, I always scroll down to that because it just makes me chuckle every time because it's just like he called you out. Brian Henderson is a maniac.
Yeah. And if you read the review, it makes a lot of great points.
It does.
Yeah, a lot of great points. Check it out. But you know, I've been watching La Liga this weekend. Again, this league just continues to surprise and baffle. Like Real Sociedad, they've been one of the more exciting teams to watch this season. But on Saturday, last place Leganés came to the Anoeta, Sociedad's home ground, pulled out a 1-1 draw. Did you catch any of this?
I did. You know, it's funny because in my new job, I have to do these like social English speaking events, basically. And the game was in the background. And so I caught about a good 30 to 40 minutes of it. And I was talking to one of the people that were there at this event. And I just kind of was making a note. I was like, man, you know, I thought Real Sociedad plays better. And just like you said, I mean, the La Liga right now has become a real league of parity this season. I mean, including Madrid and Barcelona. And that's what's been really baffling because, you know, Real Sociedad had a really good run lately. And then they tie Leganés, which on paper, you would think that Sociedad would have got those 3 points.
There is a lot of parity. And honestly, like Granada still in the running. Osasuna not looking too bad. These teams were just promoted this year. Given the way that the year has been going, I'd say there's still a chance that Granada could win the championship somehow.
For sure. I mean, if you're a fan of any of these teams, you're loving it, you know, because this is kind of the hopeful season, you know. It's almost like the Leicester City saga, you know, or fairy tale that could happen to your club. And so, you know, this is one of the things that La Liga has been missing, obviously, in the last, I would say, 15, 20 years is the parity aspect of it. That's why I think the English Premier League gets a lot of popularity because any Sunday teams can win and lose. Personally, I like it because it kind of gives a little bit more up and down. I just wish our team was playing more consistent. But just like you said, Granada is still in the thick of it. Osasuna is still in the thick of it. And we're entering November, you know, and that's kind of never heard of in the last 5 seasons.
Yeah, we're one third of the way through the league. You know, that's not nothing. But I'll tell you who's not looking so good. All right. Celta de Vigo.
Yeah, they're not looking too good. And again, we talked about this in the scouting report. We definitely thought that they were going to have a better showing just because of the upgrade in midfield and their attacking force. But man, there's something missing, and I don't know what it is. I'm not glad that they couldn't find it at the Camp Nou this past weekend, obviously. But, you know, again, that team I thought for sure was going to be a better running for maybe the Europa League position rather than Osasuna or Granada, for example.
Right. Well, you know, they had a big turnover last week because they had such poor results and such a bad start. They fired the manager, Fran Escriba, and then they instated Oscar Garcia just last week. So we got, I think, the better end of that deal in the game. I think it helped. Being at home helped.
Sure.
Just some good things falling our way. 2 incredible free kicks from Messi certainly helped.
For sure. You know? For sure. Yeah.
But, you know, they've got their own drama. So now they're in a position where they can't be thinking about Europa League. They can't be thinking about that. They just need to focus on climbing up the table. Now they have a new manager. Hopefully he can turn things around and maybe just get them out of relegation, maybe get them mid-table or something and look ahead to next year, really, as far as greater aspirations go.
For sure. I mean, if you're a fan of a team that is in the relegation zone more times than not, that's got to be super stressful, you know, because you know, for us as Barca fans, we haven't really had to deal with that. We're just talking about Champions League and this type of thing. We don't really have a doubt if we're going to be in La Liga next year. But man, if your team is like constantly struggling, you know, maybe not winning four matches and they're in the relegation zone, not only is it just bad morale, but also it's just, you know, you're going to get relegated essentially, which is huge, you know, and that's a different type of stress. And I don't know if I can deal with that, because if I was a fan of, for example, like Granada before or something like this, and a team got relegated, that's really difficult. But that's really shows the loyalty of the fans as well, you know, to stick it through. So I have to give them credit for that.
Well, also, I mean, if you're a fan of Granada, if you live in Granada,
yeah,
who are you going to root for?
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I mean, every Spaniard I've ever talked to who's from maybe a smaller part of the country, smaller city or something like that, they have their local club.
Of course.
But then they follow one of the big clubs too.
Yeah, to have a little
bit. But their heart is more with their local club.
Of course, of course. They follow the big club to have a little bit of success with that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're just a couple of giddies. You know what a giddy is, Brian?
No.
A giddy is here, what they say in Spain, is like the international traveler. It's usually referred to the Germans with their sandals and socks. Usually, that's usually what it's referred to. But giddy is usually referred to just international people of Spain, right? So we're just a couple of giddies that follow Barca. You know, fortunately, we don't have to go through that relegation stress. But again, like you said, most Spanish people have their local team, and then they follow either Barca or Madrid for the kind of big club success.
Now, here's a fun stat for you that came out of this weekend. So Karim Benzema is now the top scorer in La Liga. He's got 9 goals. He scored 2 in their 4-0 defeat of Eibar. Right behind him, there's Gerard Moreno of Villarreal and our man, Messi, each of them with 8 goals. But here's the difference. Benz has played 944 minutes, Moreno has played 1,060, and Messi, 541. That's just in La Liga. So if you statisticize that into sort of like a scoring pace, Messi is way outpacing both of them as far as minutes per goal. It's taking Messi only 68 minutes to score each goal. Meanwhile, it's taking Benz 105. And Moreno is in the back of the pack with 133.
Yeah. I mean,
so at this pace, if he, you know, if he stays fit and he continues to play and he keeps scoring at that, at roughly that pace, he's going to win another Pichichi.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, for me, the most impressive thing is his free kick taking, because those are just gimmies. You know, they're becoming almost like free throws for him. And, you know, we had this in our Patreon community. One of our listeners called me out about Juninho, right? And he's a great free kick taker. But, man, you're talking about Juninho's total career goals, and Messi's climbing up that. Just in the last 2 weeks, he's already scored 3 direct free kicks. The ability not only to score in the run of play, but the extra additive that he has with the free kicks, is he's going to win the Pichichi, most likely.
Usually a free kick taker who you expect to score a lot on free kicks, that's usually a very specialty kind of thing.
For sure.
That player is not necessarily the one who's also an incredible playmaker and an incredible scorer in the run of play, an incredible dribbler, and everything else that Messi can do and pull your eyes out of their sockets.
For sure. I mean, usually it's the midfielder, a midfielder that takes those, you know? And so obviously a midfielder just doesn't have the high goal output, you know, that a forward would do. But again, Messi, again, we saw in the Celta match his 2 free kicks, and the week before he had another free kick. Again, it's the consistency that he's doing it, and especially at that angle, it's expected now, and it's crazy. The goalkeeper knows he's going to go there, and he still is able to deliver. So for me, Brian, that's just an incredible trait that he's just developed in the last 4 years. It's crazy. But now, I think a great analogy of it is it's a free throw. You know, basically, there's nobody coming at him. He knows the distance. He practices it all the time. And, you know, he's scoring at an impressive rate. For me, again, I'm just in awe of this is free kick taking now in the last 5 years.
Yeah, no, we were mentioning just a minute ago about some Apple Podcasts reviews, and I want to share another one with you from Canada. So, again, balancing out the Brian Henderson is a Maniac 1-star review with a 5-star A-plus for Barca Talk review. This came from Overlooking Atlantic in the Canada Apple Podcast Store. It's a bit of a long one, so just bear with me. Barca Talk is a great way to stay up to speed on everything FCB. Hosts Brian and Gabriel do an excellent job of providing rational perspectives of matches, players, rumors, and fanfare. They define FC Barcelona by respecting the club's rich history, promoting products of La Masia, and reinforcing the spirit of club and sport. Want an enjoyable way to stay sharp on FCB news and analysis? Look no further. I look forward to every episode. I swear I do not know who wrote this. We did not pay them to write this, but this is one of the more coherent reviews we've ever gotten.
Yeah, for sure.
With complete sentences and a whole thought.
Yeah.
Really wonderful. Thank you so much, Overlooking Atlantic, for that review. Couldn't have asked for a better one. For the rest of you, keep those reviews coming in. Next up, Messi gets a hat trick and Busquets scores his first goal in over 2 years to stay on top and keep Celta de Vigo on bottom of La Liga. So we mentioned in the last episode where we covered the scoreless draw with Slavia that Celta de Vigo haven't been performing nearly as well as we thought they might this season. And just last week, as we mentioned at the top of the show, they fired their manager, Fran Escriba, replacing him with Oscar Garcia. They came to the Camp Nou and Barca went away with 3 points in this 4-1 win. Now, before the start of the game, all of the discussion on our coverage here in the U.S. was about the hot water the Valverde was in after the loss to Levante and the draw with Slavia. Commentators here were suggesting that he might actually get the sack if he didn't win this game. And I'm just as fed up with Valverde as you are, and I hope that, if nothing else, he doesn't get a contract extension next year. But I don't want to be the kind of fan that roots for his team to lose just so that Valverde can get fired. I mean, that's like if your best friend is dating someone who you know is crazy and you want them to break up, but you don't want to actively wish for your friend to go through the drama of, like, having their tires slashed. So Valverde has now saved himself for the time being with this win. So where are you at on this question?
I'm on the opposite end.
you're hoping for the tires to get slashed.
I love drama for your mama, you know? No, I mean, you put an interesting point. I mean, the thing is, yes, obviously I don't want to lose, but I just don't know any other way that Valverde is going to leave. And it's funny because, you know, you were talking about the perspective from the United States about that he might actually get the sack this weekend or this week and so forth. The complete opposite here in Spain, my friend, especially after Valverde gave the 2 days off. You know, since Barcelona played on Tuesday and there was such a distance between the Saturday game, Madrid performed well in their Champions League, so there was a lot more about Real Madrid rather than Barcelona in the media for here. And as I mentioned before we recorded, you know, Bartomeu had lunch with Valverde, and he basically told Valverde that everything is fine and that he shouldn't worry. And again, this is just another idea of the bubble that they continue to live in. So I personally think that nothing is going to happen until either something super drastic happens, like either they lose 5 games in a row, they don't make it out of Champions group stage. I think those are the two things that will lead to a sack. But other than that, he's going to stay for the rest of the season. So any rumor you hear is just rumors, because Bartomeu still is confident with Valverde. And that's basically the most important thing for Valverde.
Yeah, well, let's get into talking about this match. The main headline out of this game, though, was a hat trick from Messi that put any discussion of Valverde, for example, in the shadows again. Messi gets a hat trick from 3 dead ball situations. First, the penalty in the 21st minute, then the 2 free kick goals that were almost identical, and both exquisite delicacies on par with the finest patisserie in Paris. So I coined the term dead hat trick to describe this. The club called it a set piece hat trick. I like mine better. I think it makes a better hashtag. Hashtag dead hat trick.
For sure. I like your hashtag better too.
Yeah.
So, it's more appealing. Dead hat trick. Again, for example, when I was watching the match, I thought it was a replay.
Yeah. If you weren't paying close enough attention, you would have thought, oh, they're just playing a replay of that first goal.
Yeah. And it's funny because I had the Barca match and I was watching also the LSU-Alabama match. Or a football game. So I had both of those on and watching that, my friend was like, oh, there's another goal. And I'm like, no, that's a replay. And he's like, no, it's a new goal. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. So Messi's 2 free kicks were basically identical on the right side, just curled it over. And for me, Brian, those free kicks are just perfect for Messi, because the distance is such a perfect distance that the wall is not close enough to the ball. So he doesn't have to worry about getting it over the wall, because it's naturally going to be that. And then the goalkeeper can't see it. But man, just the angle, the accuracy, the speed on it is just so impressive. And to me, he just keeps climbing the chart. He will become the greatest free kick taker, mark my words, because he'll just continue to score these goals, and you cannot argue the total amount of free kick goals he will have at the end of his career, and he'll supersede anyone else below him. He may even approach 80, which is insane. You know, this is the type of, because especially when he's slowing down and there's a dead ball, he's going to be asked to take the free kick. And like I said, those are going to be free throws for him. And so again, really great hat trick. But again, like you said, this hides the fact of Valverde. He's able to get the points, the win. It's good enough for this day. And everyone is just going to talk about Messi's hat trick and not about the still problems that we have defensively and the still problems that we have players playing out of position under Valverde.
Right. That'll come up later on in the season.
For sure.
When it starts to cause more problems.
Yeah.
Because eventually he won't have that cover.
Again, it's the idea of in La Liga, we are going to win the majority of games just based on our talent. It doesn't matter what our tactics are, how fresh we are. It's just a matter of, you know, the game, the situation, and a plan at the Camp Nou is always going to help us. And again, this was just another match where we were able to find a Celta team that was not playing at the best level, obviously, but also getting an early lead. You know, that's really key for us. If we can get an early goal, then all of a sudden that gives us a little bit more confidence that we're able to continue to ride through. But again, Brian, I mean, how many times did we have a couple troubles getting out of that press? You know, how many times did we really have clear possession going straight through? And again, the link up of Griezmann and Messi is still troublesome. And so there are still a lot of issues. But again, good to get the 3 points, stay on track with Madrid in La Liga table. We'll see what happens with this international break, because now we're just going to have rumors and rumors about new coaches that could potentially come to Barca.
Right. Well, after Messi put Barcelona ahead with that penalty kick in the 21st minute to get that early goal, Celta equalized in the 42nd on a free kick. It was a very dead ball goal scoring game, except with the exception of Busquets, all of the goals were scored on set pieces. But it was a cheeky play, too, because Aspas was all lined up for it. He even started to trot towards the ball. Then Olaza steps in to take, beats the wall, and beats Ter Stegen. It was a very good take, a nice little play from Celta. The main thing that I was watching, though, is how Barcelona responded afterwards. Because, you know, we saw against Levante, for example, they were on the road. There was no real response after they got scored on by Levante. At least in this case, they came back from that. Granted, they're at home, so they're a little more fired up. They're a little more eager to please the crowd. And just a few minutes later, Messi scores on his first free kick.
So, in fact, Messi was called for the foul that led to that Celta goal. And that's a good point, Brian, you brought up about how they were going to react. But I think this was a bit different according to the Levante game, because Levante scored their goals in a run play, you know, and it was more about our lack of defending and their counter, and they were able to get through. Whereas this was a dead ball, and it didn't seem as devastating, you know, to the team, because I feel, you know, they're just like, okay, it was a free kick, it happens,
and these things happen,
exactly,
yeah.
And they moved on, and so they didn't have that devastating feeling, unlike the Levante game, where they kind of were like a deer in the headlights type of look, where it was one goal, two goal, three goals, and all in the run of play. So they did, you know, which is good, they did react, and they kept their poise, and they were able to score on that next dead ball from Messi.
Yeah, now another thing is that moving forward with Nelson Semedo now out of action with a calf injury, yes, Sergio Roberto can cover right back, of course. But after the performance we saw from him with Arthur and De Jong, it is so obvious to me that it's better to have Sergi in the midfield. Therefore, Moussa Wage has to get minutes now. I mean, either way, right? He needs to at least be on the bench, even if Valverde wants to start Sergi at right back with Semedo out, right? Wage has to be at least on the bench now.
I mean, I definitely think he might get on the bench, you know, because, again, Valverde just doesn't like him. You know, he doesn't have faith in him. But obviously with the injury situation, it's critical now with Alba and Semedo both being out. Who knows what's going to happen with Alba? Maybe he gets some miracle cure in the next 2 weeks with international break. But you never know. At least Junior Firpo got the start. You know, that was huge. You know, we didn't talk about that as much, but he did get the start. And, you know, like I said, I would rather have Semedo in right back if he's healthy. But obviously, Sergio Roberto is going to be plugged in there from now on until we get everything healthy and back. I think it's okay going forward for the next couple of games to have Junior Firpo at left back and Sergio Roberto at right back. I think it's solid enough. But going forward, you know, Semedo is still really important. I know you've been campaigning for Wage to get some playing time, but I still think it's falling on deaf ears.
Well, clearly. I mean, even you don't seem to be on board with me.
It's just not his moment right now. I think if Sergio Roberto was tired or was maybe, you know, has a nagging injury of some sort, then maybe I would be more open to have him. I just still think he's too young to be to put out there into that fire. I think more about it is just like if it was an emergency situation. But I would definitely have him on the bench because you need to have that backup.
Yeah. Well, I mean, next game, the next time that we have a competitive game is going to be in Madrid against Leganés. Last place, Leganés. I feel like that would be a perfectly acceptable time to put Wage in, even if you don't start him. Just at least have him on the bench, see if the opportunity arises.
But again, Brian, it's on the road. You know, maybe 4 years ago, I would say, yes, I would put Wage in there. But now, with our road performance woes, you just never know what we're going to get. You never know if Wagu is just going to just be nervous and give up three goals. And then all of a sudden, Valverde will just shunt him to the bench and never have him play again. And I don't want that to happen. And sure. So, you know, again, if the team was more consistent on the road, then I would say give him a shot. But with Sergio Roberto being healthy enough, he's just going to get the start at right back for sure.
Yeah. Okay, fair
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Fine.
I know, sorry.
Well, I want to end on a feel-good story because Busquets scored the fourth goal in this match. And it was the only goal in the game, as I mentioned, that actually came from the run of play. It was his 14th career goal at Barca. We were talking about pace yeah. earlier. He's averaging 3,090 minutes per goal at this point.
Yeah, it's quite a snail's pace, isn't it?
But it was a good take.
It was a good take.
The ball just sort of he got lucky. It bounced to him. He was out just outside the box, totally unmarked. He knew he had it.
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't pass it.
Well, that's why he's only scored 14 career goals,
sure.
Because he always looks for the pass.
For sure. And, you know, he was a little greedy there, which was good to get some of the – he showed the chops, you know, that he can shoot the ball, you know, and he had a really nice take and he got the goal. So I was happy for him. But like you said, that 3,090 minutes per goal average, it's crazy, you know? I mean, when was the last time he scored?
It was October 1st, 2017, against Las Palmas in that empty stadium match when there was all the protesting in Barcelona, that weird game. That was the last time he scored. It was on a corner kick. Messi put it in.
Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like Busquets's goals have always either been on like scrum plays, you know, where it's just like people just going at it together and all of a sudden he just sticks his foot in and gets the goal, or something like this where it was kind of like a deflection type of play that happens and he just happened to be there. But for me, the most important thing was to get the 3 points. Again, we still have a lot of issues, but I'm pleased to see Artur getting more playing time and getting back into the starting lineup.
Yeah, it was really nice to see him back again. And he played the full 90. Now, next, another installment of the UEFA Euro qualifiers will interrupt club action this week. And Barcelona has taken that opportunity to play a charity match in Cartagena. So with that international break, halting club play, some form, we're not quite sure who, but some form of Barca squad will travel south to play a charity match with FC Cartagena to raise aid money for the victims of the serious flooding that hit the Murcia region back in September. The game will be on Wednesday, kickoff at 7 p.m. Spain time. Not quite sure what the televising opportunities might be here in the U.S. I'm sure in Spain it'll be somewhere. It might be on Barca's YouTube channel live. But in any case, I think it's really cool that they took that opportunity to do a fundraising match for that, because that was a big deal. All that rain, the torrential storming flooded entire regions down there.
Yeah, for sure. And in this area, the stadiums were flooded, you know, and just basically wrecked, essentially. So they were without football for a couple of weeks until they could clean it up and get things resumed. Here in Madrid, we weren't touched by those rains as much, but definitely in the south, they got hit hard, especially Murcia here. So, you know, we chastise the club for the things they do with Valverde and stuff. The other side that they do well is the part with charity and so forth. So this is another way to sort of solidarity for another club and to really hope to raise some money to get that stadium fixed and back to how it was before these torrential rains hit them.
Yeah. And, you know, no matter how well or not well any one of the teams is playing, and if there's, you know, issues or complaints about a manager or something like that, one thing that the club is consistently good at. It's at being more than a club. It's always good at being more than a club. Sometimes it's not so great at being a club. but it's always good at being more than a club.
For sure. I mean, we remember the with the team that from Brazil, I think it was, that had the airplane crash, right? They brought them there and they you know, showcased them. So yeah, they're always doing these things with in solidarity with other teams, which I think is great. To use their profile for charitable funds. So again, it'll definitely have a good turnout because especially some of the FCB players are going to be in this charity match. I don't know which one's which, but at least you know, some starters will be there to help raise some funds and get Cartagena back on their feet.
Yeah. I mean, because the South American nations, they are playing friendlies like Uruguay, Argentina, Brazil. They're all playing friendlies with Hungary as well in the Middle East during this break. Meanwhile, UEFA, you know, Euro qualifying is happening. The Spanish squad has not been calling up many Barca players. The last time it was just Busquets. He was the only Barca player that had been called up to Spain. But, you know, Umtiti, Griezmann, these guys are going to get called up to France probably. But since the South American nations are only playing friendlies, there's a good chance that maybe Messi won't get called up to Argentina for that, and he'll be available for this charity match, which would be huge for ticket sales, I imagine.
I mean, I could definitely see, like, for example, Sergio Roberto, maybe your boy Wage.
Well, no, because the Africa Cup of Nations will be happening at the same time as well, and he's probably almost certainly going to get called up to Senegal.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, so it'll definitely be a smaller pool of players. But going back to this idea, it's still crazy to me because when I saw the Spain roster, when I took the first glance, I was like, wow, there's no FC Barcelona player on the Spain national team. But then obviously when I examined a little bit closer, Busquets was on the team. But still, it's crazy that, you know, before how many we've had on the Spanish national team now to one Busquets, and he probably doesn't even start.
He might. I mean, it would depend on Moreno's decisions.
Yeah, did you see him the unveiling of the players?
No.
Oh my god. They have so much time, right? Because in between games and so forth, they have months, right? So basically they did this this video where the coach is walking around Madrid and like all the different you know, like the museums and stuff talking about football, and he basically has a picture of each player when they were a kid and he like calls them up. And they get called up and the thing. I mean, the production value is amazing. But again, when you're the Spanish national coach or any national coach, you got so much time on your hand. You can spend 3 days doing YouTube lineup call-ups, you know. So you should definitely check it out. It's pretty funny. It's like very romantic in the idea of like, you know, football with the history and then calling these players up and with the music, it sways and all the stuff. So it's pretty funny.
I did see a video thumbnail and it was clearly him walking down one of the hallways at the Prado. I recognized it. I just didn't actually watch the video.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. I mean, it's just so just, you know,
over the top.
Yeah, over the top. And but it's amazing because if you're a fan of the team, it gets you going, you know, it gets you going
sure. Roberto Moreno getting on the phone saying, get me Bernat.
Yeah, yeah. Or my YouTube video where I can do this whole song and dance about it. So
that's hilarious. But here's a bit of trivia, actually, about this charity match. So they're playing in Cartagena, and it's going to be in an eerily familiar venue because Cartagena Stadium, I'm going to try for this, the Cartagena.
Very good.
Thank you. Is an exact replica of Barcelona's mini estadi, the one that the Johan Cruyff Stadium has replaced. Oh. Exact replica.
Interesting. So they'll feel right. They'll feel right at home playing there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they'll feel like they're on a break.
They'll feel like they're at training session over there in Barcelona.
Yeah.
That's a good tidbit.
Back in the B squad.
Yeah, that's a good tidbit there, Brian.
All right. Well, Barcelona's next competitive match will be against Leganés in Madrid on the 23rd of November. We'll be back the Friday beforehand to scout Leganés. Barca Talk is a production of Soundit Media, written by Gabriel Quiroga and Brian Henderson, produced by Brian Henderson. Social media and promotion by 2.go. Until next time, Visca Barca.